This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today, Greg Hickman. Ah, I need water. That will be edited out. All right, let's try that again. This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Greg Hickman from Alt Agency. Greg was nominated by an auspicious guest, which was the great John Lee Dumas. Greg, thanks for being my guest today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Now, you are very well known in automation circles because particularly I know you work with agencies and entrepreneurs, but tell us, like, who do you help and what sort of problems do you solve for them?
Yeah, so my come up in kind of the automation game was really with online course creators and influencers that at the time were using Infusionsoft, as was I. And so really just got behind the scenes with a lot of people like John, helping them get more out of automation, really streamline how they sold and marketed and made sure that they were nurturing people, et cetera. And so that agency continued to grow. And over time, we started adding other revenue streams like coaching and training. And that really led us into really where we're at now and kind of to the accelerated version of the story is we found a lot of agency owners and other service providers that were curious as to how we were able to kind of escape a lot of the done-for-you work and really like productize the service that we were offering. And so over time, we've really started helping those people streamline their own business, both by kind of productizing and packaging their services better, but then really getting the most out of automation throughout the entire client journey. And now we're pretty much only training and coaching those folks for the last 3-4 years.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So you're not doing so much the done for you part of it anymore. You're teaching them how to do it?
Yep. We teach them how to do it. We give them a lot of stuff that's already like mostly built. So not like, I call it preloaded done for you. It's like pre-built, like someone will kind of raise a challenge for us and we'll kind of show them how they can, harness automation to do the job easier. And then we'll kind of give that to all of our clients. So kind of focus in core systems, like across the actual business. With who we're dealing with, most of our clients are still under 7 figures. And so they're still kind of working on how do I use automation really around lead acquisition, nurture, sales, delivery. And so we kind of focus in those areas. But yeah, we still build a lot of stuff and give it to our clients. I would say it's not the traditional project type work that we used to do.
Which is probably a lot less painful for you.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
So on the front end, it sounds like you're helping people create digital products, but in that case, it's more knowledge-based products?
Not really. I mean, most of our clients are service providers. And so my belief and kind of the journey that we took and my background is like big brand agency, as well as some boutique, but so like I come from working with huge brands, professional sports teams, like 200 plus person agencies before ending on the client side. And what I've always found to be true is that the agencies that are not reliant upon one revenue stream are always the most successful. And so what we did as we were building out funnels for people is started packaging up really training on how we were doing our service. So, we delivered a lot of webinar funnels. So we started putting together packages around here, like we'll show you how to do your webinar funnel instead of do it for you. And so that turned into like a training revenue stream. And then we added coaching onto that. And so a lot of our agency clients come to us and they're kind of in that same spot where they're stuck with done for you. Everything's custom. Because of that, when they get a new client, sales and marketing stop. So they can be in fulfillment. Fulfillment stops. Now they're back to hunting the next prospect. And, obviously we can use automation to help streamline a lot of those things. But the inherent issue with a lot of agencies is that they offer too wide of services. So creating automation was really a challenge because it's like they didn't sell the same thing over and over again. And so the narrative and the client journey changed from time to time. And so we realized that, well, hey, if we help you simplify down what you do into this core offering and automate around getting clients for that, then we can go turn that into kind of like a done with you program or a coaching product, a coaching service that really walks them through the thing that you were doing for them previously. And now you have two revenue streams. And that's really been the path that we've been on. It's funny because I love like marketing automation and using it and like deploying the systems. Like I'm a geek when it comes to that and even implementing, like I could spend my time implementing, but when we first started doing this for people, when we started expanding beyond just course creators, I'd always, you know, they're like, I want an automated webinar or a streamlined sales funnel or whatever. And I'd be like, all right, well, what do you sell? And they'd be like, what do you mean?
Me.
And like, they like show me like this like laundry list of services. I was like,
right.
Oh, yeah. That's why you have no automation, because you never do the same thing more than once.
Interesting.
And so like inherently, as we started building these things for people, we just found ourselves like constantly always starting the relationship with helping them like get clear on what it is they do, how they deliver it, how they should package it, how they should position it. And that just has over time has sort of taken the lead on what it is we do and why people come to us, because it has to happen that way in order to start to, if they don't already have something like super, super specialized, we have to start there before we can really start to automate much, because it'd be a waste of time.
Yeah, totally. That makes a lot of sense to me, obviously. I think what you're saying is interesting because, you know, you see a lot of agencies that are born out of a skill set or a capability, mm-hmm. right? And they'll start as a web design agency or an SEO agency. But the stuff that's under that is a laundry list. Mm-hmm. So the process that you use to take that laundry list and productize it, is it just packaging or is there something more to try and drive the value up?
A little bit. I mean, I think it's, so we always focus on helping our clients like kind of look at who they're serving and like identifying, like, are they actually serving a valuable problem? I think with how you kind of alluded that most people get started with that skill set, it's super easy to be like, start competing like in this kind of commoditized game of selling time for money.
Right.
And with the global market now, like, and how easy it is to build websites and stuff like that. Like, I mean, a lot of those skills have been like completely devalued. And so you can't, right. You almost like can't just be like a web designer, like unless you're like one of the best web designers for like big brands sort of thing.
Sure.
And so we've always kind of looked at the combination of those skill sets that people have and like existing services that they know how to deliver and see how do we combine them to attack a specific problem so that those skill sets are kind of bundled up in the form of a solution that has a like, hey, we're solving a predefined problem with our predefined solution. There's a predefined turnaround time. There's predefined deliverables and there's a predefined price. And that's really kind of what we help them kind of, you know, simplify down into. The vehicle in which they deliver that kind of varies depending upon where they're at in their existing journey. A lot of our clients want to add on that revenue stream that is like coaching and consulting. So some were able to make that leap like within the first 90 days. But for some, it's a progression because like they are too generalist that we have to specialize first, so that we can then kind of productize and start to, you know, put together training and workshops and stuff like that that are repeatable and standardized. So it is a little bit of like positioning, packaging, mm-hmm. Deleting, you know,
yeah, stop
automating, streamlining, you know, delegating, like all of those things sort of kind of come together. And we've created like our own proprietary process that helps us extract that for them and get to it really quick. Like in a matter of like a week, two weeks wow. tops,
great.
Someone's like, oh, this is what I do and why I'm so valuable. Now I can package it as such. And like you get out of that commodity selling time for money, being bidded down on beaten up on price, because like you actually start solving a valuable problem. And so, yeah, a lot of it's like inherent, again,
it's like the pre-work you're saying is really important. Like,
yeah, I mean, like even the people that got hired for a skill, right? Like you were hired because you were the expert. Like you knew something and you knew how to do something that the client didn't. And I think what we've really been focused on is like, how do we bring back you getting paid for your expertise, not just your labor? Because we got the job originally because we knew more than other people, which is expertise, right? But I think for a lot of reasons, we could go down many rabbit holes. Like over time, we end up just positioning ourselves as the implementation, the execution.
Right.
And we all know that over time, labor decreases in value. And that's where you kind of get stuck in this like agency hamster wheel. So a lot of it is like, how do we start to unpack your own intellectual property, your own like methodology or process that you were utilizing to solve your client's problem and or are using to solve your client's problem? And that's where the solution starts to kind of come from is that process. Like most people listening to this show, like while it's probably not documented, some of you might have it documented, you probably in your head move through a series of steps over and over, the same steps over and over again to do what it is you do for your clients. Like if we can unpack that, get that into a one page document, you can really start to play with like, here's how I can deliver that in a 2-day workshop or, you know, an 8-week course or a 12-month coaching program, and not have it be just, you know, hands to keyboard, me doing the implementation.
Taking like a systems approach to think like deconstructing what that thing that you feel like is special. There's probably a creative element for a lot of the agencies.
Yeah. And then codifying it.
And then codifying it so someone else can do parts of it or all of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So there's like, I guess the first part is on the, you know, the presentation of that. So it's like, you're not showing them what's behind the wizard's curtain.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mind of the wizard.
I mean, you can. I mean, a lot of our clients use, like, we help them develop this, like, one-page visual roadmap. We call it the signature service. And they use that in their sales. And it becomes, like, a catalyst for when they go to create content. It's, like, their guide on what to create content about. And this is where, like, there's a huge... You know, it's the classic case of the cobbler's kids have no shoes, right? You know, we get a lot of marketing agencies that are really good at marketing their clients' business, but they're horrible at marketing their own. And it's because of they do all these different things. And so this is kind of the beginning of why most agencies and service providers are only reliant on referrals and word of mouth. And even that's not that predictable because most of your clients can't even accurately communicate what it is you do because you've done so many custom things for them. And so when we unpack that process, now we can go to market with a message that will get people saying like, oh my God, like he or she's in my head. Because you can start tackling objections and problems as it relates to that solution and the problem that you're solving versus the historical agency of like, your product is the word yes. Like, yes, we can do that. Yes, we can do that too. Yes, we could do that. You can't create any sort of a traction or acquisition system that can be automated when you serve everybody doing everything. Like it's just going to be the most inefficient vehicle. So when we zoom in on that, you can actually now market yourself with a lot more ease and start putting in your own marketing systems to bring people to you instead of hunt.
Yeah. And so I think there's probably, I don't know. Do you find that the barrier to that one is it's always tough to diagnose your own problem, but is there like a fear element that if you don't say yes to everything that you can get so narrow that they're going to miss opportunity? Is that kind of the...
So is the question, can you get too narrow? Is that...
Well, I think that's the fear, right? Is that what holds
you back from doing it? Totally, I think it's a fear. I don't know the kind of the size of businesses that people are watching or listening to this, but
I'm mixed.
I mean, most of our clients are like sub 7 figures, and you know, somewhere between kind of that 300 to a million a year. We have some that are over that, but like most small to medium sized businesses, agencies I find are kind of in that area.
Sure.
And I think the reality is it's like when I think about narrowing down like who you serve or, you know, serving a specific niche, my immediate thing is like I think people say that with this notion that if they narrow down now, that means they have to stay that narrow forever. And when you start to narrow down, and if you ask yourself, okay, how much money do you want to make in the next 12 months? All right, how much do you charge? Okay, well, how many new clients is that this year for you to hit that goal? If that number is like possible with you narrowing down, your niche is not too small, period. Like,
that makes sense.
So go after it for the next year, hit those numbers, and then let's talk. It's like you like saying like, well, I don't always, yeah. I mean, like, I think people make that statement and they have that fear that like, oh my God, I'm going to have to serve insert niche forever. It's like, no, but if you want to not be a broke agency owner, like go after it, get to that number and then expand.
I like your approach where you're addressing the product and the positioning first, because I think that's, you know, it's easy to implement. Hey, listen, everyone buys marketing automation and then they don't use it.
Yeah. And you know what annoys me? You know what annoys me? And I can't take credit for this. One of my mentors, I don't know if you've had him on your show, Brad Martinow from Six Division.
No.
One of the OGs of kind of Infusionsoft implementation. I can make an intro too if you want to talk automation. He's amazing. He always, I remember when he caught my attention, he was running ads like, are you only using 10% of Infusionsoft? You know, like the... are you only using like a small percentage of the features? And you know, what he taught me was, who cares? If you're getting 100% back and then some on the 10% of features that you're using, that doesn't mean you're not get like you can be getting more than you need from just 10%. Like you don't have to use every feature in the tool set to like make it worth it, right? And like, if you are, you're probably wasting time anyway.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think there's a balance, right? Which is, what should I be using and why?
Right.
Do that. And if you're less than that, that's probably the real measurement, as opposed to, hey, I got 78 features and let's implement them all just because I bought this.
Yeah. Well, and also I think another thing that, you know, when it comes to like getting started with automation and or even using automation effectively, I think a lot of people make decisions on what to automate and how based on the features sometimes. And like, that's a slippery slope, because if you're automating things that you never once did, it's all theory. And like, why automate something that you've never actually done yet? Like, and this is why I believe either I said this or I stole this from my friend Chris L. Davis, who is the former head of education at ActiveCampaign, would be another great guest for you if you haven't had him. He was the former head of automation for Lead Pages too when it started.
Oh wow! Okay.
Like engineer for like programming rockets, like brilliant mind.
That's all.
And it definitely, as I'm saying this, it's definitely his quote. He's, the best automation starts manually.
Right.
And so, you know, like think about what are those manual processes that you do. And this is why I think it's so easy to look at like sales automation and like marketing automation, because like those are things that you're already doing in some way, shape or form manually. Sending the new welcome email to the client, like that's something that you'd send to every client, like that can be automated. You know, so like if you're not already doing things manually, like, and you're just looking at these features and you're starting to add on these cool things when you've never actually manually done it, I think you start going down this path of like automating things that aren't necessary, that could just be wasteful.
Makes sense. So how do you, what would you say? So, you know, you've got a new client. If you kind of sum it up, what are the things that people should be looking at to automate, and how do they arrive at that before they buy, or if they've already bought, how do they solve that?
With us, or just bought automation
in general, like what's your advice?
I mean, I always say, you know, start automating from the inside out. So like start closest to the cash, and you know, which, you know, on either side of the coin, there's your sales process and then there's your onboarding. Like you, no matter what type of business you're in, you're likely doing something in both of those areas right now. And if you're in client services, that's where you spend most of your time. And so that's where you're going to get the most most of your time back by starting with leveraging automation. So if you don't have a repeatable sales process that's streamlined, like you'll most likely get at least 5 to 10 hours a week of your time back just by installing something and streamlining your sales process. So, you know, again, looking closest to the transaction on either side of the coin is really where I start sales process onboarding. And then I actually move outward. So out on the front end is, you know, your marketing. Out one more step on the back end is, how do I use automation in my, just not beyond onboarding, but still within my fulfillment process, like to kind of make sure that we're getting our clients results, that they're moving through our process, you know, effectively. And then we get out to things like, you know, lead gen, advertising, retention, resell, and upsell on the opposite side of the coin. So like we just kind of expand outward. Mm-hmm. And look for the things that we're already doing in those kind of core departments. A guy by the name of Alex Charfin talks about the, you know, the five core functions of a business being, you know, lead gen, nurture, sales, delivery, retention, resell, and upsell. And really, like, again, with our clients, and I would argue probably up until at least 2 or 3 million, in most cases, like if your business is not growing and or has stalled, it's in one of those areas that you need to focus, period. Totally. And so like, that's where I would be looking at like, well, okay, do I already have a sale automated or streamlined sales process? Cool. Like, is my marketing automated? Yeah. Okay, cool. Like, how can I automate my acquisition? Right. And I just keep kind of moving outward within those five core functions, until I'm hitting my goals, really.
That's really helpful.
Yeah. And I think really, and I hope this is making it sound a little bit simpler than it has to be, because I think, you know, the biggest obstacle, because again, and maybe not because of features, but where we find ourselves in this situation where like we actually make our businesses more complex by adding automation. And that's because we're automating things that we haven't manually done. It's just, we saw someone else do it, but like, we don't actually do that in our business.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you have these things that like are not being utilized.
I think, you know, I see a lot of companies that are small to mid-market and they bought stuff and it sits there because they really were trying to solve one pain point and they thought just buying this magical tool would solve it. Mm-hmm. But what I love about your approach is that you're putting thinking into, first off, like, you know, who are you guys and who are you selling to and what are you selling them?
Yeah.
Let's corral those cats in. And then second is, let's systematize it so that it's not like a, you know, a dog's breakfast every time. Just like, it's all over the place. But so that's really helpful, because I mean, you're trying to put it into a system that's repeatable, right? So that's kind of what you're saying is, well, then make it repeatable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like if you do it more than three times, you should probably be putting a system around it. And that's kind of the thing, like a saying that has come up that I believe it's in the book Work the System, or I just made it up. But the there's a saying that I heard once and that I use is like, systems aren't created, they're captured. It's like, you're already doing it and we're going to systematize it. And I think automation is kind of the same, you know, I mean, automation I think is a form of a system or a piece of a system. And so like, if you weren't already, it's all the thing that needs to be automated is already there and it's already happening in your business. Like that's where you should be starting. Like it shouldn't be this new vision that of this thing that has never happened yet. It should be what's already happening. Automate that and then move on.
I love it. Okay. What a great approach. So that's totally, I think, hopefully very helpful to people that are trying to figure out like, what the hell do I do with this crazy system?
And yeah.
So on the flip side is, you are interested in Infusionsoft just for people's, or you still operate on Infusionsoft as a platform?
We use ActiveCampaign now.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Most of our clients use ActiveCampaign.
Oh, cool. All right.
I'd say like 95% of our clients, 90% of our clients are probably on ActiveCampaign.
Oh, great.
Maybe like 2% are on Infusionsoft. And then we have some HubSpot users and, you know, mix in the convert kits and the, you know, small business automation, Sharp Springs of the world.
And why ActiveCampaign?
So, oh man, how much time do we have?
So I don't chew up your entire day, but
no.
What is it about ActiveCampaign that people should understand?
Well, just because I use ActiveCampaign doesn't mean other people should. So I literally despise the Facebook groups where someone's like, ActiveCampaign or HubSpot, and it's like insert hundreds of opinions
right. That
are based off of nothing that's going to help the person who asked the question.
Okay, that's valid.
It's just a pointless question. It kind of depends on what's your use case. You know, what are you selling? And the thing I like about ActiveCampaign, at least right now, is that they've, for the most part, stayed in their lane of being like automation, customer experience automation. They're not trying to be like the fancy landing page builder. They're not trying to do all the things. They've like integrated with a lot of people. They have, in my opinion, for a small business, like enough of and a strong enough of a CRM and pipeline management that I don't need to have it in a separate tool. Their automation, I think from a like clear, like blank slate, traditional Infusionsoft, which obviously they rebranded to Keep,
right,
still has one of the most sophisticated, flexible, robust abilities to create automation, but like you got to be really good at it.
Right.
I think ActiveCampaign has done a really good job of like getting you like most of the way there without having to be like a ninja. And like they are a true automation platform where like if I were to leave ActiveCampaign, I'd probably really start to consider something like a HubSpot. From what I've seen, and I will caveat that I've not gone super deep enough on it, but I do have friends that are on it very deeply. And like the level in which, and again, anyone can challenge me on this. I'm not pretending that I'm probably missing something, but like the level to which you can automate and use their workflows, it's like far less superior. It's like not ActiveCampaign superior in the automation perspective,
yep. But
in a lot of other areas, automation, HubSpot like blows ActiveCampaign out of the water with like the tracking, the analytics, because everything's right. Woven in.
That's the big thing I think about HubSpot, right? Anyone. Yeah. That's buying HubSpot is it's like, how do I get someone from anonymous to known? But to your point, the automation piece is not really their focus necessarily. There's parts yeah. Of it in there, but.
Yeah, I mean, if they keep going down that path, I mean, they're probably not far off, you know, from having something like that. But I mean, that's why we've been on ActiveCampaign. Another thing is like, there's some other really cool platforms that I think are popping up that while they're not there yet, are a sign of where automation is going from like a verticalized platform perspective. Like you see like these guys called Go High Level. They have like a all-in-one solution really targeting agencies.
Oh,
you know, SharpSpring really targets agencies. And like I know that there's platforms out there. You know, you look at what's that one called? It starts with a K that a lot of e-com companies use. There's different platforms that like kind of are falling into different types of verticals.
Now I'm curious.
what's it called?
There's the K. It's an agency automation?
No, it's an automation tool, but e-com companies use it.
Oh, e-commerce. Okay, got it.
Automation. We're gonna find this now. Automation for e-com. It's
K-commerce? No. K-e-commerce.
Klaviyo.
Oh, I'm not
Klaviyo. So like Klaviyo is like you know, popular in the e-com world. And so
yeah, with a Y in it.
Yeah, I think we're on the beginning of these automation platforms that are actually designed specifically for a vertical, which obviously ActiveCampaign is not. And I like
it quickly so that people know what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
there it is.
K-L-A-V-I-Y-O. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean I like ActiveCampaign's flexibility at this point, but I can envision and do envision that this kind of siloed, verticalized solution they're going to be a lot more prominent and popular.
Makes sense. I don't show my screen very often, but I think this is a good idea on this case. So there's so many tools. I was just curious, and not to endorse one over the other.
Yeah, it's got to be for you. You got to look at your own needs, and yep. You know, do you have a sales team? Do you sell over the phone? Do you plan on selling over the phone ever? Are you selling just courses? Like, how many sales reps do you have? How many you plan on having? Like, all of those things really start to come into play when it. You know, are you serving, you know, small business? Are you serving, you know, enterprise? All really start to kind of influence that decision for each person. So I know that was kind of a way to dance around.
That's a great, I think, you know, it's always interesting to understand why a particular tool, in your case, I think what you're focused upon is delivering the right solution. You've obviously, you know, because you're delivering a specific solution around automation, it makes sense that ActiveCampaign has, I think for me, what I like about it is what you stated, which is there's an element of CRM in it. Mm-hmm. It's not Salesforce. It's not Pipedrive. It's got enough CRM in it that you need wrapped around finding and getting and keeping the customer.
Yeah. Like, we have a team of 3 sales reps, and like, I feel like, you know, when it was one person, it was great because we used to have Pipedrive, and it's like, why are we jumping back and forth between these platforms for like one rep? It's like kind of a waste. And so like, it wasn't even like an expense thing. It was more of like a, like, it's just unnecessary. Sanity. And so like, we have 3 reps right now. And like, it's still like, I'd probably go up to like 10 or so before I really started considering something really like jumping to a HubSpot. From a small business perspective, I really like what HubSpot has done on the sales side. But again, I'd rather, if it can get me 75% of the way there in ActiveCampaign, I'd rather just keep it there, because so much of my logic and automation can be powered off of those two together. So like, I do like having those two in the same tool, because then you can start doing some good stuff with less integrations. I'm always a fan of the fewest integrations, the better, but not necessarily to the point where it's an all-in-one, because I don't think anybody does it all-in-one right, or at least well enough that I would want all of them. Like, they do all-in-one, but they're like not good at some of the things that are in there. And so it's like, just because like, I want to be using the best of the tools and for what they're designed for. And again, with how many integrations ActiveCampaign has it pretty much integrates with everything. So it allows me to kind of pick and choose, at least thus far. But most tools are at the point where it's pretty, you know, open from an integrations perspective.
Well, that's good to hear, because I think I don't use it a lot personally. I have used it with specific clients, but I like to kind of understand what the motivation was. And I think to your point, the most important thing is figure out, you know, are you direct or digital sales process or a hybrid? Mm-hmm. What are you actually selling, so you're not spraying all over the place and people get it? And then making it somewhat repeatable on the delivery and implementation end, so that.
Who are you selling to? Like, right. What really is weird to me, and in some ways I get it, but like, I remember when, and I think it's still the case, like, Infusionsoft doesn't use Infusionsoft.
No, they don't. That is so weird. Do they use Salesforce?
That or NetSuite, I forget where they're at now, but
yeah, that would be a really crazy choice. I could use, I could see NetSuite as a finance package, but
this might have changed, but when I was more involved in the Infusionsoft world, that was, the case. But I mean, cause it was designed for small to medium sized business, and they outgrew that size. And so, like, if I were serving people that were using Salesforce and I wasn't using Salesforce, I'd feel like that would be weird, you know?
Yeah. I can't remember, but I remember having that conversation. I was like, wait, you guys aren't even using it. I think I talked to one of their reps. Yeah. And by the way, is Infusionsoft completely rebranded to Keep now?
Yeah. It's just, I can't not call it that. Cause that's
I'm the same. I know there was kind of like a negative thing because of how complex it, I never understood the rebrand personally, but
yeah,
but that was a mistake. Cause although I get people were making fun of it saying it was Confusionsoft, but I think that was more like, whatever. That was just,
I don't know. I don't know where they're going.
It's still a great platform. I think
it's a great platform. It's a great platform.
Greg, I want to be conscious of your time. So first of all, appreciate you coming on. I want to acknowledge the cool work you're doing with clients.
Yeah, thank you.
How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way, if you want like more content like this, I have a YouTube channel. Just search Greg Hickman on YouTube. Got hundreds of videos there. Just me drawing on my iPad, breaking this stuff down. Outside of that, if you are an agency owner or service provider, just visit altagency.com. And there's some free training off of there as well that you'd probably find helpful.
I love it. I will personally also check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of things. I'm going to steal a line from John Lee Dumas, and I think it's actually Jim Rohn. But
I was just talking to my clients about Jim Rohn earlier.
Someone pointed out that when John was on, he was giving me the gears because I guess he asks like, who are the five people you spend the most time with? Because mm-hmm. that's what influences you know, your trajectory, I guess, in life. Yeah. So, who do you typically spend most time with, Greg?
Am I like to keep out family?
No, you can include whoever you want.
Yeah,
some,
I mean,
you know, what's funny is some people answer with books and movies, but
I mean, I easily spend my most amount of time with my wife Sarah and my son Cole at this point.
Like, soon to be another one, right?
Soon to be another, yeah. Soon to be a daughter next month, and our dog Rocky.
Shout out to Rocky.
What's that?
Shout out to Rocky.
Yeah, shout out to Rocky. But yeah, I mean, from people wise, those two. I mean, from a like a couple of people that I talk to on the regular, I mean, if I can bundle them as one, our clients, I mean, like I'm talking with our clients like all day, every day. And you know, which has allowed me to keep my finger on the pulse of what they need. Then one of my really close friends, Amanda Bond, she's like a Facebook ad strategist, talk to her all the time. And actually where I'm jumping to next, my buddy Ian Garlick, he's a video agency, video marketer, and he's hosting a really large video summit starting here in the next week or so.
Is that online or is it live?
It's a live summit, yeah. I think some of it's live, it's pre-recorded. I mean, I recorded mine already with him. So I think some is recorded and some is some live.
Do you say it's Ivor or Ian?
His name is Ian.
Ian.
Spelled Ian, but pronounced Ian.
Got it.
I-A-N. And then, yeah, so it's called the Giants of Video. But he's a buddy of mine. He actually Infusionsoft certified, met him as an Infusionsoft certified partner. He's just one of those guys just like I talk to, you know, pretty frequently. I mean, John, I talk to John, and then I'm over my five, but that's...
No, that's great.
Those are some, yeah.
I love it. Okay.
And then Jim Rohn. I mean, Jim Rohn...
Oh, there you go.
For the media answer, I listen to Jim Rohn's Ultimate Library every single morning.
Oh, wow.
For at least 25 to 30 minutes. I listen to it while I'm taking my son to daycare. And each and every time I listen to it, man, it's just like there's a new nugget that pops out.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So, yeah. I'm a huge, huge Jim Rohn fan.
Well, that was an appropriate thing to bring up then. That's awesome.
I love it.
Okay. So the final thing is, you kind of know how you got on the show was we like interesting guests to nominate other interesting guests. You mentioned a couple that are actually pretty heavy duty. Perfect fit. So
I nominate Brad Martineau and Chris L. Davis.
Chris L. Davis and Brad Martineau, you guys have been nominated to be guests on the Automate and Grow podcast. Greg, I want to thank you very much for your time. It was a lot of fun. I'm sure we could talk for hours and hours about this.
Totally.
I want to acknowledge the great work you're doing with clients and helping businesses that are small and trying to get to where they want to go. Yeah. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast, and we will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.